our scripture reading today, we're heading back into John's gospel. Last week we took a little hiatus and went over to Luke, but we're going to jump back over to John today. But before I do that, you can prepare yourselves by opening up your Bibles. We're in John chapter 10, or there's a link going up in the comments that will take you to this Bible passage on Bible Gateway. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, but if you have an NIV or a King James or the Message, whatever version you might have will work. So please follow along when we get there. My whole life, from childhood into youth and also into adulthood, I've always had a really big problem with trust exercises. And being in church youth group and being a youth group leader, this was something that people always thought was really fun to do, to blindfold people and lead them around in areas covered in mouse traps, or having people call out for you to listen to their voice and try to follow them through some sort of maze. And I never could quite wrap my head around why this was fun. I specifically remember one time in a high school psychology class, our teacher had us go on a scavenger hunt around the school, and one person was blindfolded and the other was leading. And I remember being a junior or senior and almost having a panic attack in the hallway because I couldn't handle not being in control, having to follow another person and be guided into unknown territory. And then I remember years later, when I was in college, I was a youth director of a little church in Columbia, and we took the kids on this youth retreat, and we went through this series of obstacles out in the woods at this church camp. And we get to this one section and we are told each of you has to climb up onto this tall platform. And everyone else is going to stand below you and you're going to stand backwards with your heels on the edge and you're going to fall. We're doing a trust fall into each other's arms. And they said the only rule is to stay as stiff as you can and don't bend. So I'm terrified, of course, and I have all of these youth kids below me, and I fall. And what do I do but bend my body? And so they had a whole lot of extra weight placed on them because it wasn't evenly distributed because I was supposed to stay straight, and I failed. Sometimes we have problems trusting. Sometimes we have problems following. Sometimes it's so much easier if we rely on our own knowledge and our own wisdom and we maintain control. But sometimes that causes more harm than good. Sometimes that doesn't give us the opportunity to live life and to live life abundantly because we fail to follow Jesus where Jesus is calling us. This morning in our gospel reading, we move away from the Easter story for a little bit. Over the past 3 weeks, we have looked at what happens right after the resurrection occurred. From Mary and the disciples finding the tomb empty, to going into those rooms where the disciples were hiding, and on the road to Emmaus. We see Jesus revealing himself post-resurrection. But the gospel is full of these moments where Jesus tells us exactly who he is and exactly why he came to walk among us and to teach us and to guide us. And so we're going to jump back a little earlier in John's gospel to before Jesus is dead, obviously before he's risen, to this moment where he's speaking. And he says these words. I'm in John chapter 10, and I'm going to start in verse 1. He says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought all out on his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus said to them this, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was fresh out of college, I was nervous and scared about what was about to happen. College was the first time that I'd ever lived on my own, like it is for many young people, and even then, I lived in a dorm. And after I left the dorm, I went to the sorority house, and then I moved into an apartment with a friend. So I never really lived alone, and I'm a fairly independent person. But the idea of going into a new city or a new town by myself gave me a lot of fear and anxiety. And so I had two job offers when I left college. The first was to do a program where I could get my master's and earn very little money, but move all the way to St. Louis, a city that I'd never explored and never really been a part of. And then the other offer was in my hometown, in Lexington, where my classroom would be my grandfather's old classroom. And so, of course, I chose to move back to my hometown. I lived within walking distance of my grandmother's house. I would frequently come home and laundry would be folded and there would be a pot of soup on the stove. And I found a lot of comfort in those moments. I was much like the sheep in this story in John. I was safe and secure in the sheepfold. I had no reason to leave. I was well fed and well taken care of. But one of the things that I slowly discovered over time was I was not actually living out the call that God had placed in my life, that I was failing to hear the voice of the shepherd and to follow. I want you to reimagine this scene for a moment. Jesus is saying, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in another way is a thief." So they're in these sheepfold, there are things trying to come in and get at our lives, trying to call us away. But then Jesus says, "Follow me. I am the good shepherd. I will call you out." And so Jesus offers us this not so gentle shove out of the sheepfold. The problem, though, when we read this in the English, it's not very aggressive. But really, the text isn't quite as gentle as we like to see it. So I want you to imagine for a moment this rolling plain, that dusk starts to descend, and there's the shepherd leading his flock into the sheepfold. And the sheep are safe, and the thieves and the wolves and the things that are trying to harm the sheep, they are blocked out by the gate. And when the shepherd gets up the next morning, Jesus explains, he calls out his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. We can't spend our whole lives in the sheepfold. We can't spend our whole lives in the comfort and complacency of where we've always been and what we've always trusted, no matter how safe that enclosure might be. The sheep are called to follow the shepherd out of the fold in order to find sustenance, in order to be able to live. Jesus' choice of words here is telling, but like I said, our translation in the English kind of hides the true meaning because it says, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them. When he brought out. If you look at the word in the Greek there, that word is used other times in the gospel, but it's not used in such a passive way. In other places, it says, when we hear this, it says Jesus cast out demons. Or we hear this word when Jesus makes a whip and throws it at the money changers in the temple. We hear it when he speaks about driving out rulers of this word, of this world. In every instance that this word is used in the gospel, Jesus is doing some sort of battle. He's pushing or pulling or throwing or yanking or driving or casting out. But here, whoever translated this decided to make it a nice word. Jesus brings out his sheep. But Jesus is more aggressive than this. Jesus is casting us out. He's pulling us. He's trying to get us to come with him and follow him out of the safety and security of what we've always known, to go out into the wilderness and go out into the unknown, into the places where we may have never been before, and follow the shepherd. Shepherd language isn't something that's isolated to John's gospel. In fact, it's one of the most used images throughout the biblical canon in both the Old and New Testaments. One of the most familiar images of a shepherd that we get is in Psalm 23. I'm sure you've heard this before, but we'll take a moment and we will read that together as I just pulled my it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me down the right paths for his namesake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We often hear this text read at a funeral, right? I know almost every funeral I have ever officiated, this is a biblical text that the family has asked me to read. And honestly, funerals are one of my favorite parts of pastoral ministry. I think I've said this before, but it's a place where I can be present with a family and offer comfort, but also it's a place where we can gather and hear stories about this wonderful life that someone lived and how they impacted so many. Because while a funeral is for mourning, it's also a time of celebrating. Celebrating the life of the person and also celebrating and worshiping God for the power of resurrection. That death is not the end, that life wins out. One of the ways that I like to frame the Easter story, these 7 weeks of Easter, is it's like one big Jesus funeral. It's a eulogy of his greatest hits. It's the highlight reel of these great stories that tell us who Jesus is and succinctly tells us why it's important to follow Jesus. And here in John 10, we hear it's because Jesus is the good shepherd. We are called to follow him, to not live in the comfortable sheepfold we've built for ourselves, because Jesus prepares a table for us out in the darkest valleys, the places where we've never gone before. Jesus lets our cups run over, and as John says, when we follow, we will have life, and we will have life abundantly. This is the message of resurrection, that life cannot be conquered, not by death or sin or powers or angels or demons, nothing of this world or the world beyond, that life happens fully and intensely and internally. But even though it can't be conquered, I would argue that it could possibly be delayed. The longer we stay in places of complacency, the longer we allow our lives to remain dormant and to stay in the sheepfold, whatever that may be, and not participate in the fullness that God has called us to. So this morning, I would invite you to think about the places in your life that feel safe and secure. And then seek and ask if that's where God is really calling you to be. I believe that God calls us into places that are uncomfortable, that are unfamiliar, that give us panic and anxiety, sometimes that make us bend and fall. But if we listen to the voice that we trust, God will lead us there. Over the past few weeks, we've had like an action response or something that you can do to give yourself a physical reminder of the text for the week. And so our response today, I invite you to gather two things. First, gather the worry stone that I mentioned last week or the week before. Now I can't remember. And the second is gather a glass or a vase or something and fill it to the brim with water. And this glass symbolizes the state of grace and love that is already and always what God gives to us. So I'm going to take that stone, and I'm going to go over here and do that in just a moment. But take that stone and drop in your worry and your grief. And the water, the love of God, will spill over. And we are reminded that there is so much love and abundance to go around. This Easter season, remember that life prevails. Hope is found, and love wins. So I invite you to take a moment and to grab your stone and your water, and to drop it in, and to let the love of God pour out over you, over those around you, and over the whole world. Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for this time and this moment to come together and to worship you, to hear the story of the Good Shepherd, O God, and to recognize that maybe you weren't quite so gentle, God. Sometimes you are tugging us and pulling us. Sometimes we ignore it, God. But allow us to pause and to listen to where you are leading us, and allow us to follow you there. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.